It's so good to see everyone here today. Let's get into the Word of God today, and let's thank Him that His Word changes us. His Word is alive, it's real. And, you know, the prophets of old talked about it as being a fire shut up in my bones. There is something about God's Word. It is living, it's active, it will change the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act. It will chip away things on you on the inside. If you will let the Word of God do what it's supposed to do, it will truly set you free. It will. It will. God's Word is powerful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word today. Thank you, God, for our time in your presence. God, that sweet time of your presence, God, always makes a difference. Always makes a difference for each one of us. And so, Father, we open up ourselves to your Word, God, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Help us. Help me, Father God, as I minister, that you would speak through me as I speak. God, not as just man's thoughts, but God, that you would truly burn a word inside of our heart that would make a difference. Not just in our lives, but in others, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible near you, or if you have an electronic Bible, I want you to go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be kind of poking around in the book of Timothy the next couple of weeks. But the theme that I want to just lay out to you today is the importance of grace and truth. The importance of grace and truth. And in our world today, we have a lot of preaching about grace, and I think it's great. I think it's needed. We need to understand the grace of God. And as you've heard me say often, the grace of God is God's power, His ability, doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. That's the power of God released in you. It's not Him just, just letting you get away with everything in the world. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's not a license to sin. That's not what grace is. Grace has never been that. Grace is God's power released in us so that we can live according to truth. And so that's why there's this importance of grace and truth together. And so we're looking at 2 Timothy in particular. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be pulling out some truths regarding that theme of grace and truth. I like to put it this way. Grace and truth is God's perfect recipe for a successful Christian life. Grace and truth is God's perfect recipe for a successful Christian life. When we understand His grace and we understand the truth that we are supposed to live by, then God is able to release His power in us. He's able to show us mercy when we need to be shown mercy. Because how many know, mercy goes right hand in hand with grace. Because you need both. Mercy is being treated better than you deserve. That's mercy. And the Word of God is very clear when it says that we were all sinners. We were all a mess without Jesus. I don't know about you, but I was. And hearing Pastor Christine talk about her senior year in high school reminds me of between my sophomore and junior year. I knew a lot about God up here, went to church, but it wasn't until it kind of clicked down in here on that July Sunday morning that I walked the aisle. And I said, I'm yours. I'm yours today, Lord. I'm yours from here on out. Whatever you want from me, I will live for you. And soon after that, baptized. And I know I see some of our young people that were baptized in the congregation today. And then last week I talked about, what do you do? Getting up out of the water. And it's living in the power that God has for you. And I talked about how you have been set apart to be used by God. You've been set apart. When you are baptized and you come up out of that water, there is a power that you can live your life and your Christian life. And that's going back to that whole grace and truth principle. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to just pick up where the Word of God talks about verse 6. Therefore, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, if you haven't gotten that verse underlined in your Bible, you really, really need that underlined. You need it highlighted. You need to cut and paste it on your Bible program and stick it somewhere where you can see it. Because right now, we live in a world that thrives on fear. And I'm not talking about using wisdom, and I'm not talking about necessarily being anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine or anti-mask or pro-mask. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about fear that has gripped our world. Fear that because maybe my skin is a different color than yours, that somehow there's going to be a problem. Fear that there's not going to be enough. Fear that the economy is going to crash. Fear that I'm not going to have enough of this or that or the other. I want you to know, I've got good news for you today. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You don't have to live in that emotion, in that stuff. Instead, you can rise above it, for the Word of God declares to us that He's not given us a spirit of fear. Now, why would the Apostle Paul write that to Timothy? He wrote that to Timothy as a young man who was a young pastor. In fact, some scholars believe that Timothy was a teenage young man pastoring one of the largest churches in the world.
Hallelujah.
Young people?
30,000.
Estimated, Pastor Joe says, he's confirming this.
30,000.
They're estimated that the church of Ephesus,
yes, sir,
was 30,000 people. Wow. No micro, right? But it is estimated that he was the pastor. He was the pastor. And he was a teenager. So the Apostle Paul, in writing to this teenager, he's writing to him and he's basically saying, I want you to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you.
Amen.
See, if we're looking at this book and some of the next couple of chapters that we kind of poke around in the next couple of weeks, I want you to look at the fact that we're going to be looking at it specifically with that lens of grace and truth. Because grace, remember, is God's power, His passion, His ability, doing inside of you what you can't do yourself. So sometimes, as a young person or even as an adult who's been walking with God for 40 years, hello, sometimes you feel like, man, can I do this anymore? Or there's a struggle. Why? Because we live in this world. The cultural forces push on you. They push on me. There is a pressure that every one of us face. Nobody is exempt. So when you look at me or Pastor Joe, Reverend Ennis, Reverend Christine, Pastor Christine, you look at us and say, they must be exempt because they're pastors. No! Not a chance. If anything, there's a target painted on us. Am I right, Pastor Joe?
Right on your back.
There's a target right on your back. Now, that's not to scare you to step into the things of God or the call of God. It should just embolden you.
That's right.
There was a C.T. Studd wrote this. He said, some people want to live within the sound of chapel bells. I want to run a mission a yard from the gate of hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we get to that point where we say, I'm going to live for truth no matter what happens around me. No matter who is standing with me or who is not. And see, God gives us, He gives us through the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was kind of like, he was a father figure to Timothy. From what we know, Timothy didn't have an active father. There's probably some of us that might be able to identify with that. But I want you to know something. Timothy is listening, and it says here, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a responsibility to kind of keep that fire going. Stir it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, stir it up.
Stir it up.
You've got to stir it up. Now, you know, I know some of you ladies and some of you guys like to cook too, okay? I know Jim back there makes a mean stew. I've tasted a venison stew, if you want to know what it is.
Ooh.
And it's really good. I imagine when it's cooking, you got to kind of get those flavors going. You got to stir it up. In your Christian life, sometimes that's what you've got to do. You've got to stir up the things, the ingredients, the things that God put inside of you. Those moments, those markers. That's why whether it's baptism, whether it's an experience that you had with God in prayer, at a youth camp, at a worship service somewhere where God just kind of got a hold of your life, you know, there have been moments where I didn't expect it, and God got a hold of my life, even as a Christian. I remember sitting in chapel at the school that I went to, Oral Roberts University, and there were times where I was kind of tired. I'd been up with my friends. I was just kind of, I got to go to chapel today. Sometimes the way we are when we come to church. But God has other plans. Because sometimes I would walk into chapel and the speaker would get up and start to speak, and then all of a sudden the music would play and the presence of God fell. And I'd find myself weeping.
Amen.
And I thought, I didn't plan this. I didn't plan to weep. I'm a college male student. I'm not going to show any weakness. Forget about it. When the Holy Ghost comes on you and he just touches your life at whatever point you are, sometimes that's all you can do is weep. I've been in services where 200 young people have been on their knees before God and you could hear a pin drop.
Mm.
I've been in services where the presence of God is so powerful that people didn't even want to say anything. They didn't even want to breathe.
Yeah.
And I say that to you because we believe that God is going to send a revival one more time.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it's more if the Lord tarries for another 100 years. But wouldn't it be better for us to jump into a revival and just usher in the King of Glory and go home and be with Jesus? Wouldn't that be a whole lot better than just keep going through this cycle of revival down, revival down, revival down? I don't know about you, but I'm praying for a great awakening in America. A great awakening that actually breaks down some of this junk that the enemy has tried to use to divide us, whether it's by culture, whether it's by race, whether it's by economics, whether it's by the political junk, all of the things that have happened, that the enemy is just trying to divide, 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 divide. I don't know about you, but when I stand before God, it's going to be because I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Not because of the country I came from, not because of the political party that I might be a part of, but because Jesus set me free as a young person. That's the reason that I'm going to stand before the throne. And when I read in the book of Revelation, what does it tell me? Out of every kindred, tribe, and tongue. That means my brothers and sisters are going to be there from every kindred, tribe, and tongue. And that is what I'm looking forward to. And so when we are looking at this, he says, stir up the gift of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, stir up. You've got to stir it up. You've got a part to play if you're going to live in this day and age with grace and truth. You've got a part to play, Pastor Joe. There's a responsibility for every Christian to feed what God is doing on the inside of you. That's why it is important to gather together. It is important to stay connected. And if you can't connect physically because of health concerns, stay connected online. Stay connected. Call. Tell us, hey, pray for me. Stay connected. If you're a young person, stay connected with Zoom, because we're making an effort to keep that alive. Stay connected. If you can come, come. Be a part of what God is doing, because there is something about the corporate anointing of God when you come together. You know, Pastor Joe, come up here. So when we come together, there is a strength that comes from being together. there's a strength when two are together. There is something about that. It's a biblical principle. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be, you know, just alone. And thank you, Pastor Joe. But, you know, together, I mean, this man's strong, too. So don't think, oh, you know, he's an older man. No, this man's strong. This man's strong, and he's not as old as some people think he might be, just because he's got a little gray on top. I got gray here, and eventually it goes there, from what I'm told. So I want to tell you something. Together we can do great things. Now notice what it said in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Say power.
Power.
That is not anything to gloss over.
Come on.
Power.
That's right.
You've got power to stand against an immoral generation. You have power to say no. You have power to say no to your own flesh. When your flesh wants to do something. When you want to go the wrong way. You have power, and it says, and love. Power and love and a sound mind. You don't have to give in to anxiety, fear, worry. You can stir that up on the inside. Listen, we live in an age right now where everybody is diagnosing everybody because we all have access to the internet and WebMD. Yeah, it's true. And what happens when, no, listen, when you get a symptom in your body, have anybody ever Googled your symptom? And when you do it, it will lead you down a path, and if you are not careful, you're already dead in 6 feet under.
You're gone, gone.
I'm so serious about that. But it's also true of mental health. Oh, I'm feeling a little anxious. Right now, we have so many people that are diagnosing themselves, well, I have severe anxiety. Well, have you ever gone to the doctor for that? No, I just know I haven't. We are diagnosing ourselves on so many fronts. I'm not trying to minimize that there are real people who have anxiety issues. And if they need to take medication, then by all means, they need to do that. But I'm not talking about self-diagnosis. Because the enemy will have all of you self-diagnose.
Of course.
He will self-diagnose you and discourage you and try to defeat you. And so what I want to tell you is this. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You do not have to be afraid of what the future holds. When you're a child of God, you can square your shoulders and you can say, no, I got this. With God in me, I got this. With God in me, that's a majority. I got this. You see, because if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, He's whispering to each one of you when you walk into that place of the unknown. When you walk into that fear situation, what are people going to think of me? Are they going to judge me by my color, by my culture, by this, by that? No, God's got you.
Amen.
Listen, when you walk that way, that's a confidence. There is a confidence that comes from walking with God and taking Him at His word. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't mean that sometimes you get, I've been afraid up here, but bold down here. You say, is that even possible? You better believe it's possible. There have been many times in my life where that has happened. Whether it is me confronting somebody, and I'm afraid up here, but down here, I'm bold. That happened to me multiple times in high school, standing up for the Lord. Standing up for myself, standing up when the bully would throw me up against the locker, call me terrible names. Then when he saw that I was carrying a Bible, I picked up my Bible and dusted it off and put it back underneath my arm. And he saw that I was carrying a Bible, and he started making fun of me. And the boldness of God, I was afraid on the inside. This kid was known to be sick. No, I mean that. He had been known to, like, I won't even go into all the things that he would do. He was a lot bigger than me. And I remember taking the Bible, and I still don't believe that I did this. Because, I mean, I could have been really beat up at that point. I was in the hallway. We had outside hallways down in Florida. And I was in the hallway, and I pushed the Bible into his chest, and I said, "Are you man enough to carry it?"
Oh, wow. Praise God.
Good for you. You tell me.
He shut up real quick.
Yes, sir.
Because he saw something. He saw a boldness. He left with his friends. 2 days later,
the boldness.
He saw me in another class. And I thought, oh dear God, here he comes again. Thank God we were in gym class, but you guys know, if you've ever been in gym class, the gym teacher doesn't really care what's going on.
Yeah.
Neither does the substitute. And he came over to me, and he sat behind me, and the whole time I'm thinking, I am terrified. He's behind me, right there. And all of a sudden, he moves down and sits next to me.
Wow.
And I thought, and he looks over to me and he says, "You know what happened the other day?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I didn't mean any of that."
Lord.
And he said, "And if anybody ever messes with you, just let them." I thought to myself, I don't need your protection.
Yeah, you already saw that.
I got something a little better than you.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I didn't say it to him because I wasn't dumb. But from then on, I never had a problem with him.
There you go.
So you can be afraid up here and bold down here, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. And see, a spirit of fear is not just terror. A spirit of fear can be, what do people think of me? What do I look like? What's my self-image? What's my identity? When you find your identity in Christ and that alone, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Because my identity is with Christ. For, remember I talked about last week, for I've been crucified with Christ. Philippians says it this way, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. When you have a conscious awareness of that kind of walk, it will change the way you walk into a room. You will walk into a room not slinking into the room. Listen, I was the kind of kid, I was afraid. You ask my parents. I had like one or two friends. I was the quiet one that hid behind my mom's skirt. I was the guy that was always shy. I was the one who was the last to speak, not the first to speak. But when the truth of who I was in Christ came about in my life, you couldn't shut me up. I wasn't talking about me. I was always talking about him. I was talking about him. I was saying, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's about him. It's about him. They called me Jesus Freak before that song ever came about. And if you don't know what the song I'm talking about, there was a song back in the 90s about being a Jesus Freak. And I was, you know, I was 10 years before that. I was the original Jesus Freak at my high school. I was. And you know, and what started out, remember I was talking about, and I haven't lost my train of thought here, you meet other people, right? So when I showed up at high school, my junior year, first day of school, junior year, I took a big deep breath. I knew what I had done with some of the other kids. I knew what I had said. I knew my foul mouth. I knew the wrong things I had done to people. I knew who I hung out with. I knew what parties I had gone to, and now I'm going back to school. I made a quality decision ahead of time. Even if I'm alone, I will stand. Even if I'm alone, I will stand. But I am so thankful that I didn't have to be alone. Because when I walked to my bus stop, first day of school, I had that Bible with me. I thought, I might as well just be marked ahead of time. So I did. The bus driver opened the door and I noticed there was a Bible sitting right on the console.
Yes!
There you go.
She was a sweet Afro-American lady. And I walked in to the bus and I looked at her and I said, I've got one of those too. She said, Hallelujah! First day of school. And I thought, this is going to go better than I thought it was. A new kid had moved into my neighborhood. He was at the bus stop. He looks at me and goes, what's that you got? I said, it's a Bible. He said, that's kind of cool. And I said, do you go to church? He goes, sometimes, when my parents feel like it. He goes, but do you understand it? And I said, not all of it yet. I was a new Christian. But I knew a lot about the Bible. And I said, but I do know some things. He says, like what? I said, you got to be born again.
Yes.
And he looked at me and goes, what's that?
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's go to John chapter 3. Jesus said, you got to be born again. He goes, well, I'm Lutheran. Does that mean that I'm born again? I said, I don't know. Do you believe this? He goes, yes, I believe that. I said, then you're born again. He goes, good. I'm born again. I said, let's pray to make sure.
There you go. Nail it.
He became a good friend. And to this day, he follows me sometimes on Facebook. He lives in Ohio, and he's serving Jesus.
Amen.
He's been a leader in his church. He's done some really amazing things. So I say that to say this, you're never alone. And when you make a stand, the Lord spoke this to me as a young Christian. He said, if you will stand up for me, I will make sure that others stand with you.
There you go.
I was like, I heard that. That's the first time I'd ever heard God really talk too much. I mean, I got inspired, but I was like, really? Not too long after, that was September, a couple weeks later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. That really blew everybody's mind. All of my family, everybody thought, oh no, he's gone off the deep end. He's really a Jesus freak. My church, everybody thought, because my church didn't teach about that. They taught about being born again, thank God, but they didn't teach about being filled with the Holy Ghost and power. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I'm telling you, every unlovable person ended up at my lunch table. Every misfit in my high school ended up at my lunch table.
There you go.
By the end of my senior year, what started out as me and my friend, my Lutheran friend who got born again, having like a little mini Bible study at lunch, two lunch tables filled with people with their Bibles. When they made the senior class prophecies, you know how they like to tease people, their senior class prophecy about me was, well, Doug, this was the reputation I had, obviously, because the enemy didn't like it. He wanted to discourage me. They said, well, 20 years from now, Doug Mitchell is the head of the Satanic Church in America. And everybody laughed. And I was devastated. And I went running to one of my spiritual mentors. And they said, Doug, that's awesome. That's a compliment, because what they're telling you is they know that's not going to happen. Yeah. They saw something in you in the 2 years that you walked Jesus in front of them. And I thank God for that spiritual mentor, FBI agent, spirit-filled, wonderful man of God. As I was going and bemoaning and kind of running over to him like, oh, can you believe they said that about me? He said, no, 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 no. And then it reminded me of what Jesus said. Blessed are you when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice! Rejoice! So you know what I did? I rejoiced. I rejoiced. And my 10-year class reunion, they asked me to speak. Not a long time, but they said, we want you to lead us. Prayer for all the departed classmates. And they sat me at the head table. I was like, Pastor Christine and I sat at the head table. She didn't know anybody. We were married. And fairly newly married. And we're at the head table. And the class president, he was half drunk when he came to the table. He came up to me and he said, why the blankety blank 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 are you at the head table and I'm not? And I looked at him and I said, I didn't plan it. I just accepted the invitation. I'm telling you, God will grant you courage in the face of adversity. He will grant you a courage that comes from down on the inside to do the right thing, to stand for truth. It is grace and truth mixed together. I'm reminded of what it was said about Jesus, that grace and truth were embodied in Jesus, that he was the center of grace and truth. And if he was the center of grace and truth, that grace, that power to live according to truth is true for you and me. Notice what it goes on to say there in 2 Timothy. It says this. It says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And a sound mind. That means that you can have, the Greek word for that has to do with a safe thinking, good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, discipline, the ability to understand and make right decisions. It's the qualities of self-control and self-discipline. So when you are speaking that particular verse out loud and speaking it over your life, I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to be encouraged that you can stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. That if you have made Jesus your Lord, if you have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. When you have that kind of courage in the face of adversity, in the face of a culture that's not kind to Christians right now. In fact, somehow in the culture, they're making it so that we're the haters.
That's right.
We're the intolerant ones. But when you look at what has happened in the world, and when you look across what's going on, who shows up when there is a need? Jesus and God's people. God's people show up. God's people are there. God's people show up and feed. God's people show up and help. God's people are the ones that are his hands and feet in the earth. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. Skip down to verse 13. Hold fast. That means hang on to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That the good thing which was committed to you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phlegas and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I want you to know that the Apostle Paul is not telling me, and he's not telling you, that you're going to go through life in flowery beds of ease. He's basically saying suffering is not getting sick with some disease like COVID. That's not biblical suffering. Biblical suffering is when you suffer in the flesh for doing the right thing for Jesus. It's when they put you in prison or say all manner of evil against you falsely. When they malign your character and say, oh no, he's a terrible person. I remember one day, not too long ago, I was in doing my job, and a person accused me of being basically a bigot. I was doing my job, and I was asking for ID. I was asking for things to make sure it lined up with a particular transaction I had to make, and none of the IDs worked. None of the plans, none of the things that my company asked me to do worked. Immediately they started yelling in the store saying that I was a bigot, that I was a terrible person, and that I was just asking those questions because I was a bigot. And I said, I am not. I'm so sorry that I'm not. And they kept on louder and louder, I want to see a manager. And immediately a manager came up and began to interact with the person. And I just, you know, I was keeping my mouth shut. And I was just basically doing what I needed to do. And eventually, my manager came over and he said, you know, I've known Doug a long time. That is not a word that I would put in the same category as Doug. And I'm sorry that you're feeling that way, but we can't make this transaction. You'll have to go somewhere else. And I was backed up. But I want you to know, character, sometimes you have to suffer. In that moment, I felt maligned. I felt, because I thought, that's the last thing. That I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do not want my character to be assassinated like that. Because I want to be a good witness.
Yep.
I want people to see. Everybody in my work knows that I'm a minister. Even if I don't tell them, my heathen co-workers tell everybody else. I had one gentleman, he loved me. He was always really nice to me, but he was heathen. I'm just being honest. He no longer works for the company. But he would introduce me to customers and say, this is Doug. He's going to help you. And oh, by the way, watch what you say. He's a man of the cloth. One day he overheard me making a funeral arrangement for somebody. And the discussion was a rental casket. And he was listening to me. And he grew up a different faith, totally, not Christian at all. And he looked a minute and he said, they really rent caskets? And I said, yes. I said, they do. And he said, I got to get in on that business. I looked at him and I said, the truth is, are you ready to go? Because you don't take it with you. And he said, we'll talk about that. And he told me that he was an agnostic. He said, I believe there's something out there. I just don't know what. And I said, are you ready to go? I said, Jesus loves you.
Oh boy.
Ever since that day, for several years, he was always super kind to me, If he cursed, he would apologize immediately. If he said something off color, he says, "Ooh, I can't say that in front of Doug." I didn't have to be mad or angry. I didn't have to tell him, "Oh, be quiet, I'm a man of God." I didn't have to do anything like that. My God watches out over me when I do the right thing.
Sure.
Just like he did with the bully, just like he did and will for you, the grace of God is available, but verse 13, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Hold fast. That means, if you tell me to hold fast to something, it means that, you know, I'm going to have you grab the other end of this. It's okay. You might have to wash your hands after. If you hold fast to something, you are actually gripping it. Hold fast. That means somebody else is going to try to take those things away from you. Right? All right? If you hold fast, it means that you are not letting go of your grip. It is said that a bulldog... Thank you, Pastor Joe. Using him as my sermon illustration today. He's a strong man, I'm telling you. It is said of a bulldog that the reason why a bulldog's jaw is kind of set back is because when they grab a hold of a bone, they're not letting go. You need to be that way with your faith. Because listen to me, young people, adults, right now, people are falling away from what they were raised in. They're falling away from the things that they were taught as youngsters. They call the generation that is not going to church right now, they call them the nuns. Not as in the nunnery, in a Catholic mind, a Catholic connotation, but they're the nuns. They don't identify with any faith at all. They pick and choose parts of things they like. If you ask some of my colleagues at work that are young in their 20s, they like a little Buddhism. They like a little of this. Oh, they like some things of Christianity. They like some of that, and they like some of this, but not that part. Grace and truth. Truth will be truth no matter what. If you take truth and put it under a microscope, it will still be truth. If you take truth and kick it across the room, it will still be truth. If you take truth and you throw it up against the wall, when it comes down, it will still be truth. And the Word of God tells us, thy word is truth. I will make God's word a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's grace and truth in action. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. This week, when you step into an unknown situation, when you go to a school that you haven't been to before, when you step into a classroom with a different teacher that you don't know, when you get into that scenario that you've never been before, new job situation, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Do not shrink back, but instead move forward. Do not shrink back. Know that you have power on the inside. The Bible declares that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you've received Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, you have power to live this gospel out. It is grace and truth mixed together. We're going to see that next week. I've got a really great, I'm so excited about next week. We're going to see some things. I've got some things planned for next week that'll be good. And I just want you to be excited that God has given you, he's given you power to live. Power to live. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of COVID. You don't have to be afraid of the situation, of the economics, of any of that. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus and watch what happens when you tap into the boldness on the inside. Because, man, there is something that happens where you find yourself saying things and you might even stop yourself and say, did you say that? Like when I said, are you man enough to carry it? I couldn't believe I said that. I thought, dear God, I'm going to die. I did. That's being afraid up here and being bold down here. That's living life by faith and doing it the way God wants us to. Not being ashamed. Not being ashamed. Say, I'm not ashamed.
Not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet right now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for listening today. I had that on my heart. The idea of grace and truth mixed together, the power and God's truth coming together, will give you an opportunity to live in such a way. You're going to live a different dimension this week. There's things that you're dealing with that I don't fully understand. There might be problems. There might be challenges. There might be even heartache, hardship. But you've got power to make it through every one of those situations. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know Him. To ask Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. If that's you and you want to receive Christ, I want you just to raise up your hand and say, I want to receive Christ into my life. I want to ask Jesus in my life. Is there anybody at all? Praise God. If you've done that before, you don't need to keep doing it over and over again. But maybe you might need to recommit your life to God. And if that's you, raise up your hand and say, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you. And Lord, I thank you that you hear me. That you forgive me. That you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That He died for my sins. That He was raised from the dead for me. And I choose to follow Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I thank you, God, that you have given me a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And I resist fear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer to walk this plan of God and the message of Jesus Christ out. If that's you, I'm just going to hang out a little bit after the church over. If you want me to pray for you, I'm going to be up here. And don't forget, we have a teen parents and teens meeting. It's actually for the parents right after church, just briefly. And we're going to try to get that accomplished so that we want to just kind of keep communication open with the parents of what's happening with the youth as we move forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'll be available for anybody who needs to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let's close with our sending out verse. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Don't forget to take a look at the picnic table out there. And we love you. You're dismissed.